Welcome to today's broadcast of Lead to Serve, a leadership podcast with Ed Taylor.
Welcome again to another edition, to today's edition of the Lead to Serve podcast. My name is Ed Taylor. I'm the pastor here at Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. I have the privilege of serving with many wonderful women and men in ministry to this community and beyond. This is season number 4 of our podcast, and for season number 4, we have had a guest. I have had a guest with us as we talk through things. 50, yes, you heard that correctly, 50 years of ministry experience, most of them as a senior pastor, as a lead pastor, but almost all of them in some sort of pastoral type ministry. If you would, welcome again. We want to welcome you again, Bob Claycamp. Welcome, brother.
Hey, it's a joy to be a part of this. It's just glorious.
Yeah, the feedback on this season has been really good, especially in this dialogue of talking things through your point of view, my point of view, our point of view, and it's been really good to have you. And the mindset that we have with the podcast is exactly what the name means, Lead to Serve. I guess we could have called it Serve to Lead as well, but it flowed better with lead. The idea is this: be a good servant unto the Lord. We're using biblical principles. That is our tool. We're not the type of podcast that's going to bring in all these kind of business philosophies or anything like that. Not that they're good or bad. That's just not the purpose of our podcast. The purpose of our podcast is to distill from the Word, to distill from maybe some successes that we've had, certainly from failures that we had, to talk about what will make us better servants, that will make us better leaders, that will make us better servants, and on that cycle goes. And that's a good cycle to be in. In our last episode, we talked about closed doors and open doors because it just felt like the flow of these episodes that we needed to really affirm to you listening in that yes, open doors are great, but closed doors are great too, even though they are extremely painful. So if you're just dropping into the podcast right now because somebody recommended it to you, I'd encourage you. We still have, I don't know how long we're going to have them up, but we still have all the episodes up and you can listen from season 1. But eventually we're going to take down the seasons and redo them, I think. But they're all up there now. Take advantage of them. They're really, I have 23 years experience here. I'm learning a lot. I don't come to you like I got it all together. But I have learned a lot and I have made some significant mistakes in serving God in the context of this church, in the context of my previous church. And if you can learn from my successes or failures and you can avoid the failures yourself, I'd say that's a good deal. Make sure that before we jump into today's topic, which is the topic of quitting, and we're going to use the word. Some of you listening in have considered quitting recently, especially post-pandemic, coming out of some of the hardest years of ministry in our generation. And the thought of quitting, I mean, we could always pull out the statistics, whatever the numbers are, pastors are quitting. If it was thousands of pastors or just one, quitting in the flesh is never okay. Quitting in the flesh is never okay. But we'll talk a little bit about that. But again, before we jump into the topic, I want to remind you that your topics, if you have something you want to hear us talk about, email me at ed@edtaylor.org. It has to be .org, ed@edtaylor.org. Or you can always text in 720-608-0012, 720-608-0012, or the website for our church here. I'm sure you've already downloaded our app. It's calvaryco.church, calvaryco.church. You should download the app. Stay in touch with us, especially turn on notifications because I send something out every morning, Monday through Saturday, every morning an encouragement of some sort. We send out reminders. We send out encouragements. So get the app, turn on notifications. Okay, Bob, here we go. Quitting.
All right.
There's a lot of different angles to take with quitting, but let's go ahead. And I had the definition up here a minute ago. I'll have to look it up again. So let me just look it up again. And let's talk about this definition of quitting. According to the New Oxford dictionary, quitting means to leave a place, usually permanently. Also means to resign as a job, or another definition, which doesn't matter, is to behave in a specified way, but that's not our purpose. So I like this, leave from a place, usually permanently, quitting. I think we have to define our terms. It's never okay to quit in the flesh. What are your thoughts on that general statement?
Well, I believe that there are seasons where we are very discouraged. What we had hoped would happen is not happening, and it's coming, it's becoming less and less. And a lot of times people quit because they just don't see any hope. And really behind the quitting is a loss of hope. That I think is a core issue, a discouragement. Their picture of what it looks like or what it was supposed to look like is not happening. And we're a culture that likes to run from things. We like to cancel things out. And many times we think that just leaving and running is going to settle it. But the problem is an internal problem to start with. And so before we do that knee-jerk reaction, well, I'm just going to quit, that'll show them. Well, you're really, you know, at the end of the day, a year later, and you're there on food stamps, and you're thinking, you know, was it really, was that really spirit-led, or was I just in frustration trying to punish them by me leaving? And so who's being punished, though? And so there's, it's quitting in the flesh means that you're just doing things on an emotional reaction and not really thinking it through and taking time for the Holy Spirit to lead you through the internal changes that seem to be going on.
Yeah, I think that I was, I know that I've watched people quit in times of great discouragement, whether it's pastoring a church, whether it is a difficult a ministry in the church, whether it's a job, and related to the season that they're in. And one of the things that God has blessed me with moving to Colorado is seasons. You know, Southern California, you don't really experience seasons all that much, except for beautiful and cold and beautiful and warm. I mean, and maybe rainy every once in a while. But moving here to Colorado, there are four distinct seasons. The seasons come and they go. And for me, the season that I have to learn to endure above the four is winter. I'm not a big fan of winter or the snow or shoveling or the ice, driving on ice. And you can make a lot of bad decisions in winter seasons. Instead of saying, no, just understand the season's going to pass. It will warm up again. I mean, today it's 83 degrees. So we're heading out. I'm unbelievable. I didn't actually get to go out much today, but I'm happy that the season of winter seems to be passing with these warmer days and these sunnier days. But a couple things, you know, thinking this through. First of all, I want to talk about Elijah, because I think Elijah typifies the feelings that we have that can overtake us. You know, the pandemic's really messed with us, whether we realize it or not. Mm-hmm. It's changed our thinking. We're tired more often. Maybe we're weary. Maybe the division that's still ongoing. I mean, it's now we got a whole new wave of division with the political climate and the difficult moral climate, and it's just so polarizing and divisive. But Barna, as I've mentioned before, does a lot of different surveys, a lot of different insights that they provide statistically. And I want to give you the five reasons that pastors are giving these days. This was something in 2022, toward March, so about a year ago, and these are the top five reasons why pastors want to quit. Number one, the immense stress of the job. Number two, I feel lonely and isolated. Number three, current political divisions. Number four, I'm unhappy with the effect this role has on my family. And five, I'm not optimistic about the future of my church. Let me I'll pop a couple other ones in there. My vision for the church conflicts with the church's vision, so he can't lead. And then my church is steadily declining, which is happening all over. So there are bona fide reasons, but you can see that they're very negative. And that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about those times when it's time to move on. Remember what we were talking about last time, closed doors, God is leading you in a new direction, that the season is over, and although it might be hard, you know it's time to move on. It's time to try something else. It's God is closing one door so you can open another. We're not talking about that primarily, but what we're talking about is getting to that place of deep, like you said, Bob, deep discouragement, deep difficulty. And the example in 1 Kings chapter 19, the example that God gives us of something like this is Elijah. Great victory on Mount Carmel leads to great defeat in a cave. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think after the emotional involvement of what happened on Mount Carmel, there was this last indication as he's running ahead of Ahab's chariot that finally, there's revival that's going to spark in Israel. And he gets down at the bottom of the hill and he hears this threat from Jezebel saying, by tomorrow, I'll have your head. And all of a sudden, the whole expectation collapses and he goes on the run out of fear and he takes his servant. He takes his servant with him and he drops him off in like Beersheba, the end of it, while he's saying, stay here, I'm out of here. And he never comes back to that servant again. So this guy is just waiting forever. And so that depression, that disappointment, that deep sadness so overwhelmed him, it affected his servant too. And we forget about who else is affected in the fallout of it all.
Yeah. I like how you mention emotional, because there are facts about God's call upon our life as all of these episodes are building one another. We're affirming God's call. We're seeing fruit in the ministry. And then something happens. And it can happen in our family. It can happen in our church. It seems like the emphasis in these top five things has been culturally, the pressure has been too much. It's been super hard, although they do mention the family is challenging. And the desire to quit. And we have to remember, maybe you're listening in right now and you're wanting to quit. And we wanted to quit in a way that it's not from God. It's you personally. You can't do it anymore. You can't take it anymore. You don't want to do it anymore. I want to say that I hope it's a season. I hope it's a season. And I hope you don't make a drastic decision. I like to say, don't make big decisions on bad days or yes. Make big decisions in bad seasons, that you would talk it through with someone and get through the difficulty, especially if you're your category is, I feel alone and isolated. I mean, that's a bummer. We shouldn't be alone and isolated. There is this philosophy, business philosophy. I learned it when I was in the corporate world. And I think it might be swirling around in the church world too, but it's the phrase, it's lonely at the top. And I get it. There is some sense where you have unique responsibilities and not a lot of people around you. But if you're lonely at the top, that's your fault in many ways. When you are serving in a level of leadership, we have to take the kingdom mindset. Jesus said that the way up is down. And if I'm ascending to some role or position that puts me in an isolated, lonely place where I don't have bona fide friends in my life, and you know, starting with my spouse and then my children and then some other pastors or leaders in my life, I can just talk things through, then part of that is on you. You know, and I would say that if we were to exegete this passage in 1 Kings 19 with Elijah, why is he alone in the cave? Because he went there. He chose that. Yeah. He ran away.
Yeah.
And sure, it's hard and it's challenging and it's emotional, it's overwhelming. But let's be sure and let's be clear that we can make things harder for ourselves and not easier by making fleshly decisions upon fleshly decisions. It's not lonely at the top if you ask for help. And it's not lonely at the top if you are shepherding the flock of God that's among you. And you're like, well, Ed, that's the people that I'm among that are causing me the most pain. Well, avoid them and find people that won't cause pain, that love you and support you. I have a card here. I think of this precious saint. I have a card right here on my desk in front of me. It's one of those things where I leave things on my desk to remind me on bad days. But I have a card here from Sister Jeanette, and that's how she signed it. And I'm not going to read the whole thing on the podcast, but I'm just, she says, thank you for what you both have done for this church. And it was a card to me and Marie. And she goes on to talk about just how God has used this little church in her life. And I know Sister Jeanette, I know where she sits. I know where she's at. I know what service. She came up after Easter and gave me a big hug too. And I could just say that there are always Sister Jeanettes in your church. And they're always, she's just an encouragement. She is a precious saint that God has sent to our church, that I know that if I feel like I'm tanking in a Bible study, all I need to do is turn to the left, and Sister Jeanette's going to be amening me. Her hand is going to be up affirming the message, because she's the one to lock into her, Ed. Don't worry about blowing it. Lock into her. You get back on track. And, you know, I'm using you. And I felt like, you know, that's, you're listening in and you feel lonely. And I'm not saying that there aren't those times where we do feel alone, but you don't need to stay there. What are your thoughts? Have you ever had a season where you felt like that? And how'd you handle it, Bob?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I think that there's a core issue of losing perspective. Because just like Elijah lost perspective because he felt he was the only one. And the Lord said, hey, I've got 5,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. I've got them reserved. I know where they are. Just because you don't know where they are doesn't mean I don't know where they are.
Yeah.
And he had lost his perspective. And I'm glad that's in the scripture, because Elijah was a man that did these mighty deeds, but by the Spirit of God upon him. And yet, even after a tremendous victory, you can have a tremendous depression because you lose perspective, and because it's not all about you. It's about what the Lord is doing outside of you, not just with you.
I'm reminded of David and Goliath, right? That the interesting insights with all that battle. But one thing that David showed us as a young man is that he had the right perspective. We would look at David and think, oh, poor David, you're going to be wiped out. You're going to be crushed. If we didn't know the end of the story, we'd be all nervous and upset and what's going to happen. But it wasn't poor David. It was poor Goliath, because the battle wasn't between David and Goliath. It was between Goliath and God. Perspective is so important, because fear can quickly crowd out any kind of faith in our lives. It can quickly take us from, you know, when we lose true perspective, we're being set up for discouragement, defeat, and ultimately destruction. And you're right. We, you know, in these times of season, especially when you're thinking, you know, there's this silly joke, you know, you've gone to the same conferences that I've been to over the years. And there's always a pastor that goes up and says, well, you know, I wrote my resignation and it's in my drawer and it's ready to send in. And I never really like that, because it's not a step of faith. Don't write your resignation and have it ready to turn in when that doesn't speak of hupomone or endurance or don't do that. Don't coddle your discouragement. Don't make provision for your flesh. That difficult time doesn't need a letter of resignation. It needs a brother to encourage you and to remind you of your calling and what God wants to do in your life, and that this is a hard season, but you're going to get through it. And you don't need to be prepared to quit, because God doesn't want you to quit. I think of that word, hupomone, right? Where Paul tells, and I believe Paul was the author to Hebrews, but Paul tells him, you have need of endurance. And I mean, which one of us hasn't come to that and go, yep, that's exactly what I need. And here's what he says, Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance, hupomone, so that you, after you have done the will of God, you'll receive the promise. So he's not even like not even thinking about doing the will of God. You need endurance so that after you, like, it's already beyond. You are going to accomplish God's will in your life. And I think the purpose of the podcast today is just for us to say, don't quit, man. Ask for some help. Don't quit because you're upset or discouraged or beat up or some of those things that the Barna Report shared. I'm like, oh, that's me. That's me. Well, there's help. You're not alone.
Yes. And I look back over my years of ministry in those seasons where I wanted to quit, because I have to confess I've had those seasons. And looking back on it now, it's because I had lost the full perspective. Wow. And I started seeing my own disappointments over my accomplishments, that because I'm kind of a perfectionist, and I, in my mind, I have this picture of what success looks like. And so often it's just fashioned by the world or by comparison with others. And you're not making the grade in your own mind, and you're not resting in the Lord. Mm. You lose perspective and you think, well, somebody else should take this on because I've done everything I can in it. And then you accuse people and you accuse yourself and you accuse your wife and you accuse your kids. I mean, you're just in a bummer, and there's no fruit. There's no life out of that kind of a mindset. And if you don't pull out of it, it's going to get worse and worse. And then you start beating the flock in your messages because it's their fault that things aren't happening. Like when you had mentioned, here's a decline. There's a vision difference, things like that. And sometimes you just got to go take a nap and get some rest, or step away a little bit and get some perspective back. Because when you started, you were excited.
Yeah.
You didn't care how many were there. You were just excited that anybody showed up. And that was life. And after, I remember 15, being in Scotland, and this brother coming up and said, tell me what I'm doing wrong. I've been here 15 years and now I'm back to square one. I'm doing everything myself. People I'm trying to raise up, they either move away or they get mad at me. And it's like, what am I doing wrong? You've been in the ministry long enough. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. And I'm hearing this a lot from people in my appointment ministry, going around helping out other pastors. And it's just coming back in and giving perspective on God's calling on their life. How does Jesus see you right now? Is he disappointed in you, or is he just full of joy that you're with him? And let's take it step by step here, and let's break this down. Perspective, in my mind, is always a loss of perspective is always the core issue of starting those quitting conversations in your mind.
Talking to other people, praying, coming back to getting out of your environment. I know that there's been a wave of, within our Calvary family, we were never taught this or given this direction, but there's been a wave of sabbaticals where guys have been running so hard for so many years, they've never really taken a break. And getting that break is amazing. It's an amazing thing to pull back and just refresh, reboot. I've learned over the years that I need to take my time throughout the year. I need to take my time regularly. When my kids were young, with my family, even when my kids were young, with my wife, just me and her, that I could get away, be unavailable, not check my phone 1,000 times a day, unplug, seek the Lord, focus on the people that are in front of me and people that are most. And I always come back refreshed. I always come back strengthened. Taking a break is super important. I mean, if it is, and if it becomes a place where, man, a break is not enough, or a simple little bit of time away, then it would be good to step away for a season, but guided. You know, I would want you to step away for a guided season, so that you, because a lot of times people would just get so tired and burn out and they'll step away or quit and then never come back. And that's not good. Yeah. That's not God's will. Yeah. But maybe have somebody help you with it. you know, guide you through it so that there is a sense where God can replenish you, refocus you, strengthen you. And I was reading in that poll that I shared with you for Barna, we talked about the top reasons why why pastors are wanting to quit. But here's another list, same poll. They describe it as ministry encouragement by pastors who have not considered quitting. So here are those that haven't considered it, and then they say, why? Why haven't you considered it? And here's the top five. I believe in the value of my ministry. 83% said that. I believe in the value of my ministry. And that's what you said, Bob. That's how we started. I believe that God is using me to make a difference, that there is value in what I'm doing. Secondly, I feel a duty to stay and fulfill my calling into this ministry, which is what we talked about a couple episodes ago, finding your call, stirring it up, being obedient. Thirdly, pastors did not, and that was 75%. You click that box. Another one was, I'm satisfied in my job, 73%. 67%, this is number four, said, my family supports me well. And I would have to say that I have a family like that, like all my kids,
yeah.
My wife, that we realized that the calling, and maybe that's another episode. How many more episodes were like, but the calling of God is on a family, not just the man. It's a family calling.
Yeah. Amen.
It's not, amen. You go do it, Ed. Marie says, you go do it and I'll go do my own thing. We can't fulfill God's, we can't do it that way. It's us, it's we or nothing. So that's a cool one. And then the fifth one is, this is important work I've not been able to accomplish. There is important work, ministry work that I haven't been able to accomplish yet. And I know that if I had to add one to this list, I would say in the seasons where I've wanted to quit, because I have had a few times where I was done, just done. And directly related to some of the conflict with my son's passing and all this, the difficulty surrounding that still exists. Part of that, just like, and I know that the one of the reasons that I didn't quit is that the Lord affirmed to me, this season's going to pass, Ed. You're feeling like it right now, but you'll get through this. You'll get through this. This will pass. And, you know, a lot of these same ones, I believe there's value in God using me. I want to fulfill the call of God on my life. I want to finish. That's another way of saying I want to finish well. I don't want to fall to the wayside. I don't want to trip along the way. But we're out of time again, Bob. What a great conversation.
Wow. Okay, good.
Any final thoughts?
I know that, yes. I think that many leaders and pastors are afraid to take a sabbatical because they're afraid that they won't be let back in.
Yeah.
And fear becomes a major factor. And that's where you need some outside help to help navigate that.
And Poyman, you could share a real quick info about your role in Poyman and maybe give some contact information about how to contact you directly.
Yeah, the pastors that are part of Poyman Ministry are long-time Calvary pastors, and we just want to come alongside and assist and help. And if you're considering taking a sabbatical because of how many years you've been doing this, then we'd like to help you set up some parameters and guidelines and also communicate healthy boundaries. And so you can contact us at poymanministries.com, P-O-I-M-E-N ministries.com. And one of the Poyman pastors or myself can begin that conversation and see where it can go.
And if you're in ministry, just serving, maybe you're a mom that's fed up at home, or you're a CEO, or I mean, any role, that's where the family of God comes in. There is a uniqueness with pastors, and there's a uniqueness, especially with leadership, senior pastor, even within elder-run churches, there's a pressure put upon the elders that maybe you feel inadequate for, or you're the one that keeps having to deal with everything. That's where the body of Christ comes in. And if you really have no one that you think that you can ask for help, you can just contact us. We'll serve you, pray with you. We probably don't have all the answers you're looking for, but we can encourage you. We can strengthen you. We can pray with you. We can be available to you. We're a big resourcing church, so we can resource you and point you in the right direction, books to read or studies to listen to. But I am grateful for the longevity of the ministry that we've been called to, and the longevity of, you know, the leading and the strength of the Holy Spirit. So whether you're a senior pastor, Poyman Ministries, Pastor Bob and the team there, truly trustworthy, super helpful, or within the context of your church family, ask for help. That's the key. You may, and if you don't know where to ask for help, email us. You can email me directly, ed@edtaylor.org. It has to be .org, ed@edtaylor.org. Our website, calvaryco.church. That's the website for the podcast as well. And then you can always text 720-608-0012. 720-608-0012. I hope you are encouraged by the Lead to Serve podcast. Leave us a positive review. Subscribe. And then forward this on to somebody. If everybody just forwarded on to one person, exponentially, the audience would grow. And just forward it on. I was listening to something. Well, it actually wasn't a podcast. I was listening to a Bible. I was podcasting a Bible study. And I was driving. And I just said, hey, Siri, send this to so-and-so. And it sent it. Amazingly. So it's that easy. Forward it on so folks can be encouraged. Again, thanks, Bob, for being with us.
You bet.
You're listening to the Lead to Serve podcast. Connect with us. Until next time, the Lord bless you, encourage you in and by His Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Lead to Serve with Pastor Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast from Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. If you have a leadership question you want to hear answered on a future Lead to Serve podcast, please email it to pastored@calvaryco.church. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe, rate, or review us on iTunes, and share us with your friends on social media. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on the Lead to Serve podcast.